Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Hare Krishna. So this afternoon we're continuing with the lectures on the Sri Shastaka, the 8 instruction verses given by Lord Chaitanya. We will be doing verses 6 and 7 today. And that's I think 6 is the one on the screen now. They don't see 7, so you can follow with the screen. Sri Shastaka, very, very important 8 verses given by Lord Chaitanya that a devotee is supposed to live by. Very important if you want to increase our devotion and be serious about devotional service, then these are the instructions from Krishna as Lord Chaitanya himself, telling us what to do and what not to do. Alright, so we'll start with number 6. So we'll do line. One line at a time. Okay, just repeat after me. Nayanam Galat Ashu Dharayam. Nayanam Galat Ashu Dharayam. Vadanam Gadgada Udayam Jiram. Vadanam Galat Udaya Jiram. Pulake Nichitam Vapu Kada. Pulake Nichitam Vapu Kada. Chava Nama Rahane Bhavishyati. Chava Nama Rahane Bhavishyati. Here's the translation. First I'll read through and then you can repeat after me. Oh my Lord, when will my eyes be decorated with tears of love, flowing constantly when I chant your holy name? When will my voice choke up, and when will the hairs of my body stand on end at the recitation of your name? Please repeat. Oh my Lord, when will my eyes be decorated with tears of love flowing constantly when I chant your holy name? When will my voice choke up, and when will the hairs of my body stand on end at the recitation of your name? Okay. So, as we said earlier, we're doing 6 and 7 today. So this is verse 6. Nayanam Galat Ashudaraya Vananam Gadgadarudaya Gira Pulakai Nachitam Vapukara Tavanam Agrahini Bhavishyati. So, incidentally, in ISKCON temples around the world, in the morning, after the Mangala Arati is over, the deities are open, and after that, the Sringadev prayer and the Tulsi prayer, many of the temples, the fully operating temples, will also say the Sri Shastaka before, and then the 10 offenses before the japa begins. Japa means the chanting of the holy name, the meditation. And devotees chant individually at that time. So, oh my Lord, When will my eyes be decorated with tears of love, flowing constantly when I chant your holy name? When will my voice choke up, and when will the hairs on my body stand on end at the recitation of your name? Now, there are 8 steps that a devotee that first comes to Krishna consciousness follows through until the very end. The very last step is Krishna Prema, which is a devotee's aim, love of Godhead. It starts first with having faith, Shraddha, in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That will pull the devotee towards the temple and be with other devotees. And being with other devotees and relating to them is called Sadhu Sangha. Sadhu is saint, Sangha is association. Sadhu Sangha. Now, when one takes the process seriously, as to what they've seen other devotees do and also the advice and explanation of the Krishna consciousness process to that person by the devotees that's there, if the devotee takes the process seriously, the Lord gives mercy by directing that particular personality to a spiritual master, guru. There is the connection between disciple and guru, and the guru is the one that is going to guide that particular personality, the disciple, towards going back to Godhead in the whole process of going advice. Many things that the guru does, if I could list them, but it's quite extensive. The guru is the main guide. That process is called Bhajan Kriya, receiving the mercy of the guru in terms of initiation. Then you formally have joined the parampara system, the disciplic succession system. Then there is a process that takes sometimes years to do. From practically everybody takes years to do, and that is getting rid of the unwanted things. Because one has to be purified. You go through a process of so many things happening, you find out where your faults are. Sometimes you need the Buddha's instructs, sometimes the guru instructs, until when you take it, you begin to understand the process better. And then by serving and serving the deity, and be also kind and serve other devotees, you begin to develop good habits towards devotional service. And from there, steadiness. And you also begin, Krishna says, Ye Atamaf Padinti, Tamsa Teva Bhajamyaham. As we surrender, he also rewards accordingly. And reward is from revealing himself. And at that point, the devotee really gets a taste. For Krishna consciousness. Now, after that is, somebody can assist them. You can leave it.
Yeah.
So, when someone begins from the steady habits, they acquire a taste. Pretending now the process is really sweet, become quite sweet to the devotee. And so then the early stages of Krishna Prema kicks in. That is called the Bhava stage. Now, why did we go through the whole process of describing up to the Bhava stage? This particular shloka, Nayanam Garada Sundaraya, Paranam Gakada Rudaya Gira, Pulaka Inichitamba Bukada, Tavanama Grahani Babishati. This shloka describes the Bhava stage, the early signs of Krishna Prema, the early signs of love of Godhead. And so the shloka itself, the verse is talking about the external symptoms, what a person would go through with that stage of bhava. The eyes would start crying, tears of love. And when they chant the holy name, they will just incessantly cry. So Lord Chaitanya is describing here, when will I get to that point where tears of love will be flowing constantly when I chant the holy name? When will I get to that point where my voice will choke up? Krishna's name is so sweet I can't even pronounce it like the way I'd like to. Or the hairs on my body stand on end at the recitation of Krishna's name, Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, which is Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. So this shloka reflects the initial stages of prema. An initial stage of prema is called the bhava stage. So, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that spiritual life begins with sincere faith, then sadhu sangha, and then after the association with the sadhu sangha of devotees, we begin to practice the ninefold process of bhakti. Shravanam, Ketanam, Smaranam, Parasevanam, Achanam, Bandhanam, Dasyam, Shakyam, and Atmanibhavam. The hearing, the chanting, the remembering, the worshipping, lotus feet, service, the deity worship, prayer, serving the Lord as a servant, becoming the Lord's friend, and surrendering everything to the Lord. That was the Sanskrit, the translation of the Sanskrit. So, as a result of all of these nine engagements, or most of them, then the person begins to attain certain levels of taste, ruchi, unfoldment. So, quite a bit of it is explained actually in the Nectar of Devotion. It goes through the details about it. But every in the Nectar of Devotion, the book called the Nectar of Devotion, each stage has quite a bit of analysis given. Okay? The stages of ruchi, and then finally, bhava. Ruchi is having a taste for, from steadiness, having a taste for devotion service to the Lord. And finally, bhava. So, we really, as individuals, our natural state, the actual natural position is prema, love. You hear everywhere, even in this mundane material world, people talk of love. Musicians have made a career out of singing about love so many times, different ways, different countries. People have used it, whatever it is that Krishna has given them in terms of the musical ability to sing about love. And then they also mention the heart and soul. This is also another word that's used. The person is actually not the body. A person is the soul. The soul is inside the body. The body is like a machine. As you know, machines are attended to by mechanics. The machine for the body is called a surgeon. If anything goes wrong, they can fix it. So there's a body that after a period of time ceases to exist. It's only for a period of time which we call a lifetime. Everybody is determined by the karma. So, the natural state of position of living entity is to develop love, but love of Godhead. That is a natural state. We are in an unnatural place. This is not our home. And therefore, many things that we do are also unnatural. So sometimes we say we love, but actually we're lusting for. Sometimes there's a very thin line in the material world between love and lust. Now, we really can't look at the spiritual world or the activities of our real home, which is the spiritual world, with the kind of mindset of the material world. Because the material world is on a different wavelength from the spiritual world. So we have to be taught, and this is the job of the spiritual master, to guide us to what is correct or what is the practice that we need to have in order to be able to fit in with those who are already in the spiritual world. So all the practices we do here is to prepare us. The mindset we're supposed to have, the character we're supposed to develop, should be close enough to those who are in the spiritual world so that when we leave and Krishna smiles on us and says, now you can come, then we don't go to the spiritual world and be a disturbance to those who are there. See, that's not going to work. Your disturbance, they won't allow you. Those in the spiritual world wouldn't even find out at all that you weren't allowed. Nothing. You won't come close. So the whole point of relating with us devotees is to develop the proper character. So Guru helps us. The deities are there for us to worship. And also the sadhus. They're there. So if you look at the 10 offenses, we'll go through not all, just the first four, because the first four of the 10 offenses, we'll list in a minute, describes what a devotee normally does. The first offense is to blaspheme, and we should avoid blaspheming devotees who've dedicated their lives. In other words, we shouldn't be committing Vaishnava aparad. Vaishnava offenses, devotees are Vaishnavas. Second, we do not put, as it concerns the deity, we don't put Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, the demigods at the level of the Supreme Personality of God and Lord Vishnu. That means we have to have the proper understanding in doing deity worship as to who the Lord is and who the Lord's assistants are. They're not at the same level. Third, spiritual master. Don't disobey the spiritual master's order. Spiritual master is the representative of Krishna guiding us back to the spiritual world. And fourth, Shastra, the scriptures. Don't blaspheme Shastra, our Vedic Shastra, or the Shastra from the religions, because they also talk about God. Those in the Vedic version. This is our life. We work, we relate to devotees, we relate to the deities, we relate to the spiritual master, and we relate to the Shastra. That's it. That's all what we do. Okay, so those are very important that we do. The rest of it is 10 offenses, 5 through 10 are all nama aparad. And the idea is not to really get into that heavily here. We're not talking about the stage of Baba, so I kind of went off a little bit. So we need to understand that the activities in the spiritual world are real activities. And everything here seems like it would be similar to what's in the spiritual world, but it is a perverted reflection of the real activities. So everything we do here is a perverted reflection. Bhaktivinoda Thakura says, everything in the material world is your illusory energy. That's how you put it. The song called Gopinath, part of it says, everything here is illusory energy, and then he's talking about how unfortunate he is. I have no strength, for devotional service and so on. The lamentation of how inadequate the devotee is. So Bhaktivinoda Thakura was talking about that. Now, even though things are a perverted reflection, by the mercy of Guru and Gauranga, Lord Gauranga and the spiritual master, we have some activities that are acceptable that we use as practice for the real thing when we go back. So that's what we're doing now. The attendance, the hearing of the lectures, the chanting of the holy name, the worshiping of the deities, the proper relationship with disciples and other God family members, or even those who are not initiated, doesn't matter. If your heart is with Krishna, you are a devotee of Krishna. Just a question of when we get a particular guru to guide you, which you already are. Okay? So the understanding we should have is, in order for us to be happy, we should do everything for the pleasure of the Lord. Bottom line, in the material world, people do things to try to give themselves pleasure. It doesn't work. It is only temporary, and usually there's something unpleasant attached to it. All you have to do is think about anything. I want to dance. Fine. Go on dancing in the disco until you get to a point where the body won't cooperate anymore. You like to eat? Fine. Eat one plate, second plate, third plate, fourth plate, fifth plate. What's going to happen? So the body is limited. That's the point we're making. The body is limited. So if you're going to do anything involving that, do it for Krishna. So rather than just have food, have Krishna prasad. Rather than dance somewhere else, dance in the temple. By the way, the temple does not put any kind of restriction to you as to this is the particular craze, this dance, this is, everybody has to learn this dance. You dance from your heart. Even if you sing out of key, nobody is going to bother you. Just give your heart to Krishna. That's all. So everything should be done for the pleasure of Krishna. Singing, when we sing other songs outside of Krishna, they don't have any real deep meaning. They don't. Real singing is for the glorification of Krishna. When we play musical instruments, when we dress nicely, that's all to be meant for Krishna. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, everything you do, everything you offer, all of the, if you want to go through some sort of tapasya, some sort of renunciation, do it for the sake of Krishna. You don't say, I'm going to fast because there's some material cause and I want to change the world by that, therefore I'm going to fast, and you get as many journalists to come find out what you're doing so they can report about how you're starving yourself because you want the president to change his mind about something. You're wasting your time. You may change it, you may not change it. Even if he does, Krishna doesn't care about that. It won't take you back to Godhead. But if you fast the Janmashtami, if you fast the Gopalim, now those ones give you future credits. So everything must be done with a spiritual idea in mind. And we can actually benefit from it. So in this text, we're talking about the symptoms. They explain in other books, but this, all of these symptoms that were mentioned, they have Sanskrit names. Bhava, Sanskrit, Anubhav, Vyabhichari Bhav, Sai Bhav. So the hair standing on end, the crying, the dancing, not being able to speak properly, all of those are done, and these are experienced by those who are pure, pure devotees of the Lord. So, there are in Chaitanya Charitamrita until Leela, chapter 14, text 99, these symptoms of ecstasy are explained, or they are listed also. The state of being stunned. So in the Bhava stage, person acts like they're being stunned about just how wonderful Krishna is. Even related to the deity, Lord Chaitanya went to Jagannath Puri, saw Lord Jagannath and immediately fainted. Perspiration. So in ecstasy, some can just perspire profusely. The bodily hairs stand on end. The voice falters, can't speak straight. There's trembling of the body. There is sometimes even the body turns different colors. There's tears and even the feeling of being devastated. They're all signs of those. Now, these are eight symptoms of ecstasy that are displayed by pure devotees. Haridas Thakur went through that. Lord Chaitanya went through that. Now, we sometimes say that they go through ecstasy, but what about us? We're not at their level, right? But we also go through something. And my spiritual master explained to me that's called shadow ecstasy. So there's a real thing and there's a shadow. Now, devotees don't like to talk about that very much, but it's happened to quite a few devotees. Unless a person wants to share confidentially with you or something, they don't really bring it up. So I'm just going to describe generally. In the beginning, when somebody becomes a devotee and gets very excited about Krishna consciousness and excited about chanting, sometimes the Lord or a particular spiritual master would allow shadow ecstasy to actually occur to that particular person, to give that person an indication that what they connected with is actually real. Okay. Now, in shadow ecstasy, usually what happens is the person begins to cry. When they're chanting, they cry incessantly. So many people go through that. Those who go through that, they don't want people to see them cry. So maybe in their home or somewhere. And they'll be crying incessantly over and over, and then they chant. They chanting, would it be that? Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And from what I've been told by those who shared confidentially with me, it gets to the point where they don't even want to take their hands off the beat. Remember, there's two things we do to be bad. The beat themselves and the counter beats. The counter going, right? They don't even want to touch the counter beats because it breaks the concentration. So you just keep chanting, you get to the end with the bees only, and you keep going on and on and on and on and on. Then you're like, the Vidyavasi, they don't count anything. You just keep going on and on and on and on. And it can be very sweet, going to what's described, and their chests get very heavy because the soul is there. Okay, so it stirs up the soul. In shadow ecstasy. Now, usually that may happen once or twice in a person's life, and it will never happen again. Why? Well, when a person is a conditioned soul, like most of us are, and they experience shadow ecstasy when they're chanting, that's what we said earlier, to indicate to that person that the spiritual, the soul, it has shakti, and it can, in fact, affect your body like that. Now, because we have so much to work on, our anathas, our bad habits, so that's just shown for a while, and then it gets cut off. And then you start the work of becoming a pure devotee, because actually pure devotees are the ones who go through that constantly. So it may come a little bit, some devotees don't ever experience it, it doesn't mean that it's a loss, because everything counts that you do. But a few devotees might explain it. There's one guy I know in Ghana, he and I were playing music, I knew him in Ghana, but here in Maryland, and I talked with him, and we share confidentially things, and then he told me this. That's happened to him when he just cried on and on and he couldn't stop crying when he was chanting. The older guy, he's almost 90 now. Yeah, so he's up there in age. So this actually does happen to the bodies. And shadow ecstasy comes and it comes and it goes, where now the person will never forget it because they've had that experience. So even when difficulties come in the devotional path, they can always remember, oh yeah, it is like that. It's just a question of me working on my stuff that I need to, you know, get rid of, and eventually in the spiritual world, that's just constant. So it is accessible. All of these symptoms of ecstasy, actual ecstasy. The holy name, when we chant, it can in fact cause our voice to choke up. And it's been explained that Krishna's name is actually very sweet. We are practicing because we got so much of dirt covering from years and years, lifetimes and lifetimes and lifetimes. But when this dirt gets cleared, the pronunciation of Krishna's name, even one time, gets a person very, 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 very excited. The heart just simply jumps because the soul is in the heart area. So when does this ecstasy, these feelings occur? They occur when all the bad habits have been removed. The devotees work on it, and the anathas are now the obstacles. They are removed. These obstacles are the ones that are desires that are separate from Krishna. So we said we should do things for Krishna, for Krishna's pleasure, to stimulate Krishna's senses, according to what the spiritual master has directed us to do. So if we don't do this and we say we want for ourselves, well then, we don't ever experience the sweetness of Krishna's name. And this is how sometimes the body may go on 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, and it's like, well, there's supposed to be some ecstasy in this. How come I haven't experienced it for 2 decades? One person actually asked the spiritual master, I saw a video of it. He says, Maharaj, I've been in Krishna consciousness a long time. People talk about some ecstasy in it, and I've never experienced it. What am I doing wrong? Maharaj is funny. I wasn't going to name a particular Maharaj, but you know him. But he said, how long have you been in Krishna consciousness? He said, 15 years. Maharaj said, keep going. That's the response he got. Well, everything that you do gets counted in your favor. It goes to the spiritual bank account. So even if we're not pure, still, the mercy will come. The idea of being a devotee, it's nice to work towards purity. But the idea of being a devotee is to put your heart in everything you do, so much so that the Lord and Guru are pleased with you. So that even if you have some faults that didn't quite get erased before the time of death came, it could be excused. Because it's a question of putting in the effort, and the effort attracts the mercy. So if you try hard, everything you hear, you try to live by it and believe it, and you all know in your life, Maya's going to fight you. Now, I don't need to ask anybody. Everybody here knows that if you try to do better, Maya's going to fight you. And Maya is really crafty. You say this, it does this, does that. As soon as you're down one day or you didn't wake up normal time, and there you go. Why you have a chance today? You're tired. So many, all kinds of things to tell you. And if you buy into one of them, she got you. So, one time, you know, one more story, there's no going with this. So, it was time for initiation. But Bhaktisiddha Maharaj was initiating devotees in Giranagari. And another time too, he was. So, I'm talking about two different times. It's still initiation time now. He said the same thing. And I never understood it. Now, this is what he said. So he went through the 10 offenses for those who are getting ready to take initiation. And then he said, for the rest of you who are already initiated devotees, you should rejoin the movement. And I'm thinking, but I'm already in the movement. How do I rejoin what I'm already in? And so for years, and I never asked him why he said that. It took me years before I understood what he meant. Our lives as devotees is like being in the battle of Kurukshetra. When you are a warrior, somebody is going to hit you and injure you. Sometimes Maya wins and we get temporarily injured. So what he meant was those who are struggling with the devotion, today that you're looking at other people taking initiation, you also make a vow to take the process seriously. So you'll start again from a point where you're going to take it seriously. That's what he meant by rejoin. And do it right. So every year when I hear of anybody, going through initiation, that thought hits me again. They have to rejoin society. Better not to rejoin, better to take it more seriously. But at least if you're down, don't give up. Make a resolve to do it. There's so many ways that you can, in fact, improve the devotion. One of the things that was mentioned to me is, if you stay busy, you mentioned two things. You don't get into Maya very much. Unless you're not busy doing Maya, that's trouble. But say, if you do things that are important, relevant to life, and the whole time, from the morning to time to go to bed, you involve yourself seriously, using every minute for something constructive, you won't get into mind. It will be very little or no situation that will happen to mind. Second, if you set up your time, you regulate your time. This time I do this time I do that, this time, and you literally write it down. And you know when you get up, and this time I take a shower, this time I chant, this time I do this, this time you involve your work part in it. Time for your children, all of that, until you go to bed and you follow it strictly, you obviously will not program Maya into it. It's just common sense. You will not. And so you just follow it and go to bed, you automatically stay away from Maya. Literally. Make sure chanting is in there, hearing is also in there. Those two are very important. That's what keeps you going. Hearing and chanting should be part of the program. Like that. So, if you do that, then the chances of Maya jumping in and giving you trouble is very, 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 very much reduced. Okay, so we'll stop on this verse 6. Are there any questions before we go to 7? Verse 6, questions. You're talking about the symptoms of ecstasy. Okay. Alright, so this one, go to 7. So, as soon as it comes up, okay, so this is 7, but we'll do like we did first, we'll do 1, and then, word for word, and then the line, and so on, and then the meaning, the English translation. Okay, so, ready? Yugayitam Nimishena Yugayitam Nimishena Chakshusha Pravishayitam Chakshusha Pravishayitam Sunyayitam Jagat Sarvam Sunyayitam Jagat Sarvam Govinda Virajitam Name. Okay, I read the translation and then you do word for word translation. Or follow me translation. Oh Govinda, feeling your separation, I'm considering a moment to be like 12 years or more. Tears are flowing from my eyes like torrents of rain, and I'm feeling all vacant in the world in your absence. Please repeat. Oh Govinda, feeling your separation, I'm considering a moment to be like 12 years or more. Tears are flowing from my eyes like torrents of rain, and I'm feeling all vacant in the world in your absence. Okay, so this is a mood of separation, but it's a mood of separation experienced by those who obtain the highest goal, the highest as the pure devotees. They are called Nitya Siddhas, always at a spiritual level. So Krishna sometimes in his pastimes, he might decide to leave some devotees and go somewhere else. For example, when he was in Vrindavan, Akura Prabhu came and took him and Balaram to Mathura. Then the gopis were in Vrindavan, the cowherd boys were in Vrindavan, and Akura came to get Krishna and Balaram, who were the object of worship and the love of the residents of Vrindavan. He came to take them to Mathura. The gopis protested very much because they didn't want him to go. He said he wouldn't be gone very long, but even that didn't satisfy them. They had already complained earlier about Lord Brahma, because Lord Brahma gave them eyes, because he's the creator of material things, give them eyes and eyelids, and the eyelids sometimes, you know, flick. We all do it, right? Flick over the eye. In just a little split second, that they don't get to see Krishna when they're looking at him, and that goes, the eyes come, eyelids flap over the eye. They blame Krishna for it. How come you didn't give us eyelids that will not obstruct our vision of Krishna? Now, you may think that that's extreme, but in one sense, it's not. Because the demigods' eyelids don't blink. The demigods actually don't have eyelids that don't blink. So the gopis have a case. How come you gave us eyelids that blink when we want to look at Krishna? But this is how attracted they are to even that. They had to complain about it. So imagine Akura coming to take Krishna and Balaram away. They blame him left and right. You have come to take an object of worship. You are supposed to be kind. Right? You are anything but kind. They complained, I mean, they weren't being disrespectful, but they were sharing their hearts because they were going to separate from Krishna. And so this text talks about when Krishna is not with the devotee and the devotee is missing Krishna. Anyway, for that particular story, I kind of started and left it going, but the gopis did not want Krishna to go, they didn't want Balaram to go. And some of them put their bodies on the road in front of the chariot. And we'd rather die than let Krishna go. There was so much commotion. Krishna got up, got off the chariot, took the gopis into the forest where they normally have their pastimes, and he calmed them down. Akura did not know what was going on. Balaram had to explain the situation to Akura. And Akura was patient through this whole thing. Finally, after Krishna calmed the gopis down, the cowherd girls, then he returned to the chariot. And even so, when the chariot was trying to leave, the gopis fought. And some of them still put their bodies on the road, but still, there was some between all of the spiritual commotion. Akura managed to get the horses to get around these gopis and finally take off. And then the gopis just stood like, you know, trees, just stunned, watching the chariot get smaller and smaller and smaller in their eyesight when it went farther and farther, and the dust coming up, it got to a point where they couldn't see the chariot anymore. And life changed totally after that. because the next morning, where is Krishna? Our whole life is around Krishna. That Akrura guy is taking him away. They complain, but they were very, very, very distraught. So this separation, considering a moment to be like forever, eternity, 12 years or more, and crying, and people feeling vacant, all they did was talk about Krishna day and night. Sometimes they tried to satisfy themselves by repeating, acting some of the pastimes Krishna had with them. But even that wasn't enough to console them. But we, even for us, it happens to us also. Even in our mundane world that we live in, say a guru that we like very much comes to visit, gives a lecture, wonderful kirtan, and then he's gone. Yeah, prasadam is gone. The next day you start talking about the things that happened, right? But the fact of the matter is he's gone. So that does happen sometimes. Or even a more mundane example, somebody who is an alcoholic, likes drinking alcohol, many big quantities of alcohol daily. And it gets to a point where that person needs help, and therefore we go to Alcoholics Anonymous. And now they have to stay away from alcohol. The first few days, symptoms of withdrawal are not easy at all. You can add those drug addicts, all of them, they go through that. Your whole feelings change so badly. Even though they know, in this case, what's happening is good for them, eventually, but how they feel, they have sometimes withdrawal symptoms, they may feel tension, they may feel anger, they get irritated easily, only because they think they want it, whatever it is that they used to live with, that's bad, but they can't. So, even lovers, sometimes when two people are very intensely in love and one person travels, then life is not the same. Or even the situation of a couple, that have lived a long time in marriage, 50 years, they are probably in their 80s, and then one of them dies. What happens to the other one? I don't know whether you know this. It is very difficult on the other spouse. And usually, in a matter of weeks, or sometimes even days, that other person also dies. You hear, so the man or the woman that died came to get his spouse to take him away. But that time, before the other spouse leaves, is very difficult on them. So separation can cause quite a bit of pain. So the more wonderful something is, the more difficult it is when you don't have it. Even when, we'll just give one more example. Even when you have your car and you have an accident with the car and you yourself are all right, but the car is totaled, the next day is not the same. Your whole program is changed because you depend on the car so much and now the car is not there. Even if you rent the car, it's not the same. It just isn't. Because you're so used to everything the way it was, and then one situation came and boom. So, what to speak of spiritual separation, the ultimate separation from Krishna. It is not easy at all because Krishna is the ultimate in everything. Krishna is the ultimate lover. So when the ultimate lover is not around, it is very, very intense. Those who are loving Krishna feel intense pain and anxiety. So it's explained though that in a pure state, there really isn't separation. Krishna is gone, but then he's not gone. Everything around is created by Krishna. Therefore, everything around can remind the pure devotee about Krishna. His actual presence may not be there, but there's so much around that can remind the pure devotee about Krishna. We're talking about those who are pure. And they experience far more anxiety even because the things that they see that relate them to Krishna. So for example, in Vrindavan, when he walks barefooted, he cares for the cows. The footprints are there. And now Akrura has come to take Krishna and Balaram away. So the next day, the residents come out, they see Krishna's footprints. Well, where is Krishna? To remind them of the fact that Krishna is not around. So we also should feel separation from Krishna, but in our case, we are covered up by the material energy involving our minds and our hearts and other things. And that is our misfortune. Now, for devotees, at least they know that. For non-devotees, they don't know that. They think that the material energy is going to solve the problems for them. Yes, material energies, people are always coming up with new gadgets that make life a little more convenient, but we should be able to tell the difference between convenience and happiness. For example, if somebody has a heavy load on their backs, and that load is not dead center, it's tilted a little bit to the side, they're going to feel back pain from the load being on the side. You can make it more convenient for them by helping them to put it dead center, but that does not mean that the load is not there. It's still there. It's a little bit better to handle it. Okay, that's what we call the life here in the material world. In the spiritual world, the load is totally off, and you're free to relate to everybody in great love, and they will relate to you also in great love. So there's exchanges of love. We cannot talk about exchanges of love with everybody in the material world. It's not possible. Kaliyuga is making things worse and worse. You hear news, you hear about what's not working as far as love is concerned. At the local level, at the community level, at the national level, at the international level, you talk about disputes. This country is not going well with this other country, and this particular tribe in Africa is fighting this other tribe, and we won't want to talk about Israel and Palestinians. That's been going on forever. So that's what's there. That's what's there. So, love and separation, Krishna allows that to happen because when he comes back, and you all know, somebody that you care about, when they're gone, as soon as they return, that time you're really, really, really happy. In great state of euphoria at that time, when that particular person returns. So, Krishna separating sweetens the relationship between him and the devotee. When Krishna separates from the devotee, it is to sweeten the love between him and the devotee. We read in the Shastra, when Krishna is away from Radharani for a while, it's very difficult in Radharani. He comes back, sometimes Nidhaka Samhita explains some of these, and Bhagavatam also has it. The sentiments that Srimati Radharani feels when Krishna was gone. So Uddhava experienced some of that when Krishna sent him to Vrindavan. He was in Mathura, sent Uddhava, and Uddhava went and he saw the love that the gopis had for Krishna in separation. He said, I am a friend of Krishna, but I've seen real bhakti this time, showed by the gopis. It was at another level altogether. So, to prepare to return home, is the life of a devotee. Everything we do here is practice to be able to return home to our natural environment. And for us, by Srila Prabhupada's mercy, is Goloka Vrindavan. That particular planet, the highest spiritual planet, the largest and the farthest away spiritual planet, there are other planets, spiritual planets, and Lord Narayan is the king there, and he's worshiping awe, he's worshiping reverence. But in the spiritual world, Goloka Vrindavan, where Srila Prabhupada is guiding us now, and his disciples who are spiritual masters are guiding us now to go, there Krishna is worshipped or is related to as the greatest object of love in many, many, many different ways. There are five main ways, but there are many, many different ways that devotees relate to Krishna. So Krishna is not king then, he just relates in love. And there's no better lover than Krishna. Bar none. There's no better lover than Krishna. And his love is permanent. People are friends, Sri Papa was describing, and after a while the friendship may stop because of some dispute. It will never happen between Krishna and the devotee. The friendship is always maintained, and it gets sweeter and sweeter and sweeter because Krishna is a source of intelligence. So he knows how to work a relationship to get it sweeter and sweeter and sweeter, which means we are missing a lot. That's what it means sitting here in the material world. So we have to really strive to take the process seriously so that Krishna, for those who don't have Sri Krishna Master's guided yet, that time will come. It only is a question of how seriously we want to take the process. That's all. Krishna is literally waiting. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So we're sitting here in the material world. We have about 7 or so minutes. We're sitting here in the material world, and we are using Krishna's property. The world is for Krishna. We're using Krishna's property. At least those who acknowledge that this is all for Krishna and it's by His mercy we're using it, they are in the right set of mind, or frame of mind. But there are many people who said, yeah, here's what's on the earth and I'll use whatever I want to use. But those people, seriously, we can call them thieves. Because they're not acknowledging the owner. Just take it and then use it. We wanted to be controllers in the spiritual world, got envious of Krishna, and now we've been put in the material world. So Krishna, in this material world, has given us like a small replica or toy to prevent us from creating disturbances in the spiritual world. Literally, that is our situation. We've been given something to do so that we wouldn't bother those who've been put here. So it's like a mother is cooking, for example. A mother is cooking and a child is disturbing her. I want to do this, I want to do this. The child doesn't know how to cook and still she wants to be a part of it. So the mother says, all right, here's a toy stove, vegetables made of plastic. Here, you sit here and you play. The child doesn't disturb the mother. So we have been put here in one sense like that. Where those in the spiritual world do the same thing for real. So, literally, by the spiritual master explains, so you can see why, because we do these things, that if a guru doesn't come to explain that we really aren't from here, that we will stay here for a long time, because we think we're doing the real thing, but in fact we're not. And the evidence is, we go through all kinds of trouble. There's so much that bothers us. And we've learned to tolerate. So then it rained a little bit, okay, fine. We don't have any excuse about, or we don't have any control over when it rains, but it rains. And worse, it snows. And worse, it snows so much we can't do much. Then we just, all right, well, yeah, tomorrow it's going to be 60 degrees. Then we just, okay, so it happened not too long ago. So we accept it. The fact is we're suffering. The weather controls us, disease, so we got insurance. But insurance does not stop us from the pain of disease. The insurance only pays the bills when the doctor treats us, but we go through the pain anyway. We get sick in the first place. And every time we get sick, we're uncomfortable. This is. There's no disease in the spiritual world. But we go through here. And we have to struggle to get degrees so we can work. Nobody goes to school in the spiritual world. Everything is provided. So what are we doing here? What it boils down to. So then if you don't want to take the process seriously to go home, then you're cheating yourself. Because you just get another body and go to another place and over and over and over and over again. So the process has been made simple. Chanting is supposed to be 64 rounds. The Prabhupada has gotten the mercy of Krishna permitting us to bring it down to one quarter of it, 16 rounds. So try to do it. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So are there any questions? Okay, I understand. So you want to know why Krishna fights other demons?
Yeah.
Okay, well, the reason Krishna fights other demons here, the qualities that we have, we have the qualities that we have because it's all in Krishna, in perfection, and that includes fighting. The only problem is, for real fights, that won't take place in the spiritual world. So when the demons who are here, They want to replace Krishna and be the ones that are powerful. Then Krishna comes, and because the demons don't want to give up their position, feeling that they're powerful, usually they defeated other people here and they're in control, then Krishna comes, and then the fight ensues, because Krishna comes to remove them from whatever power they think that they have. And this is that. Now, Srila Prabhupada made a joke about this. Well, actually, even if you're joking, he's still serious. He said, Krishna fights the demons just to keep his body fit. So that's exercise for him. Because obviously he always wins, right? Or sometimes he will just literally act like he's been defeated. There's one thing that sometimes he retired to a cave, and then, you know, the whole story about that, joined to Ekadashi, the story of Ekadashi, Krishna. But yeah, Krishna and Balaram, they fight like that to Srila Prabhupada said, to keep their bodies fit. But you can't do that in the spiritual world. Spiritual world is just playing around. Even if they're wrestling, is just playing around. But here, the demons really want to defeat Krishna. So they give him a good fight. So he likes that. He comes to beat him up. Hare Krishna. Any other questions? Rantraj, Kumar, Bhagavatam ki, Jai. Srila Prabhupada ki, Jai.